I just want to continue this morning. Just before I do, I just want to pray for the word this morning. Just to remind you about tonight for the series, we're really blessed. Most of the church were there last Sunday night to be a part of the courses, and I just encourage you again to make sure that you come along tonight. We're really talking about our whole theme for the year about love. The nights we're really looking at intimacy with the Father. A lot of people go in circles in their life, face dissatisfaction in their own Christian walk because they're not living in that place of intimacy. So I encourage you to be there. Again, if you missed out on last week, we're coming a little bit earlier. We'll show that beforehand, and then at 6:30 for 1 hour. It only goes for an hour. In fact, last week only went for about 50 minutes. The evening, so kids can come, they can get them home, get them in bed, that's fine. But it's very powerful. So the whole church are doing it together. And so it's a journey on the Agape Road, that road to intimacy with the Father. And we don't want anyone to be left behind on the road. So come along and be a part of that. It's been quite impacting and life-changing. I've had some great testimonies already. We've only shown two or three of them. So I really encourage you to be there tonight. I want to keep on talking about our theme, Radical Love. But let's just pray. Lord Father, we just thank you. Lord, for the presence, your presence that's here, Father, we just sense that you're here already. Father, already you've been speaking to us, Lord, and you speak to us in many ways. But Lord, as we come around your word this morning, Father, I pray, Lord, that you speak to each and every one of us, Lord, that you'll touch our hearts this day. Father, we ask that in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I want to speak this morning about one of the aspects of love, radical love we've been talking about this year as our theme. And I really want to look at the aspect of the sacrificial part of radical love. And we've talked about it being covenantal kind of love. We've talked about different kinds of love and substitutes and many, many different related areas. I want to talk about the area of sacrifice, about sacrificial love. And look, this is a really important area when we talk about sacrifice. It's not a popular topic to talk about sacrifice even in the body of Christ. And even Bob Mumford said in his last session that we heard last week, he said that really the church generally is at fault because we've really encouraged people to keep that hook that we saw a little preview of it. We'll be talking more about that, about being self-centered, that even as Christians, everything's about, Lord, bless me. It's about me. It's about my needs. It's about what I want, what I need. And again, even the church can be guilty of that, of focusing everything about us and about what about me. It isn't fair. That kind of self-centered hook that points back to ourselves. And so it's not always a popular topic even to talk about sacrificial life, but it is a really important part of us. Because Ephesians 5:2, which is the main scripture we want to grab a handle of this year, it says, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Living a life of love. And it's important that we talk about sacrifice because the only reason we know what love is, the scriptures told us, we've already seen, we only know what love is because of the sacrifice of the cross. Without Christ, without the cross, we don't even know what love is. We really don't understand what love is. And if without sacrifice in a part of our lives, we cannot live a life of love. In fact, if you do not sacrifice, then you cannot say that you even love. You don't sacrifice for the cause of the kingdom of God. You cannot say, I'd even go as far to say, that you cannot say that you love God if you do not prepare to sacrifice for the cause of the kingdom. Not the kind of love we're talking about, not the kind of love, the agape love that we're talking about, that unconditional, selfless love, that sacrificial love, that's a covenantal basis kind of love. We cannot even profess that I love God in the true sense of what that means, because that is based on sacrifice. And so a life of sacrifice and knowing sacrifice is a fundamental part of the Christian walk. A lot of us, we don't necessarily like about talking about sacrifice. Because if I talk about sacrifice, it's going to cost me something, isn't it? Is it going to affect me in some way? Well, you bet it is. Because we're talking about living a life that God wants us to live, a life of love. And we cannot avoid talking about sacrifice if we're going to live a life of love. And to do that, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up. What about giving ourselves up? Gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. I just want to talk a little, before we get too far into this, about the difference, what I'm putting on, between a sacrificial love and selfless love. I'm actually wanting to bring a bit of a distinction between sacrificial love and selfless love. Now, the bottom line is that most sacrifices, and certainly in the context of the body of Christ, revolve other people, because ultimately the cause of the gospel is to see people coming into the things of God. But I want to draw a little distinction, because we're going to talk about on another occasion about selflessness as being selfless in the kind of love that we're talking about. I really want to talk about sacrificial love in terms of really sacrificing for the cause. To sacrifice for the cause of the kingdom. That's what I'm talking about. When I'm talking about sacrifice or sacrificial love, I'm talking about living a life that makes sacrifice for the kingdom of God, for the cause of the gospel, that people might come to know the salvation that we have found, that people might not suffer eternal damnation and punishment, but they may come into the same reality that we have, into a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, to be intimate with our Father because of the cross of Christ. And that's really what I'm talking about when I'm talking about a sacrificial love. Selflessness is really where you live your life for others. And that's an important part, and I want to spend a whole time talking about living our life for other people. But this morning, we're talking about that sacrificial aspect of love. We're talking about living for the cause of the gospel. And therefore, if we're going to live a life of love, then we need to live a life of sacrifice. We need to live for the cause. Jesus said it this way in Mark 8:35. He said, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it." And so it's about giving ourselves up, even as Christ gave himself up on the cross, about losing our life. And you can see why it's not a very popular topic, is it? About losing your life, about sacrifice, about giving yourself up. While in some places it might never be a topic that's discussed, but we're talking about living a life of love, and we cannot do that without sacrifice. So I want to make it clear, when I'm talking about sacrifice, I'm talking about the cause of the gospel. Quite often the gospel involves others, obviously, because we want to see them for the kingdom. But I want to talk about selflessness on another occasion. I want to start by having a look at contrasting a couple of different situations here. Someone that was incredibly made a sacrifice for the kingdom, but I want to start off with someone that, when push came to shove, even though they loved God, and even though they were a good, upright person who loved God, they couldn't make the final cut. They couldn't make the cut of living a life of sacrifice, and there was something that hindered them from doing that. And I want to have a look at a story in Mark chapter 10. So it'll come up there. If you've got a Bible, oh, good to use your Bible. Have you got it? Yeah, it's good to use that and follow it through. It'll be there on the screen there. But I want to read the story about the rich young ruler. Who wants to be young? Wish I was young. I'd love to be 18 again. That would have been nice. To be rich, to be a ruler. Well, this was a rich young ruler. He seemed to have everything going for him. He even loved God, yet he missed out. He didn't want to live a life a sacrifice. Let's read about him in Mark chapter 10, and I'm reading down from verse 17. It says, "As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees." That's pretty good, isn't it? Coming up and falling on your knees before Jesus, that's a pretty good start, you'd think. "Good teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And so he's talking about really what his whole life is about, the whole point of why I'm here, the whole point of why I'm alive. And Jesus in verse 18 says, "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered, "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "I've kept all of these since I was a boy." So pretty good guy, isn't he? He's kept all the commands. Hasn't been a naughty boy. Hasn't got himself into a lot of trouble, has come to Jesus, fallen down on his knees and been a good boy. And verse 21 says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. Just remember that, verse 21. Jesus looked at him and loved him. He says, "One thing you lack." Now this is a guy, he's got everything going for him. He obviously has an acknowledgement of God in his life. He's been a good little boy, he's kept all the commandments. Hasn't stolen, hasn't killed anyone, hasn't committed adultery, hasn't lied, cheated, stealed, honored his parents. He's a good guy. And Jesus says, "One thing you lack," he said, "go, sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." And at this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. This is a really sad story in the Bible. This guy who comes up, he falls down on his knees before Jesus. What do I have to do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, well, you know the commandments. I've kept all of these since I was a boy, but one thing you lack. And the one thing that he lacked, it says, he said, sell everything you have. And so is Jesus saying to all of us here, let's go sell everything we have and give it to the poor? Now the point is about the point of sacrifice in our life. What really were we living for? What do we live for? For this man, he has had everything going for him. He's a healthy young guy, healthy, he's young, he had wealth, he's a rich young ruler. And not just a ruler, you think a ruler, well, that'd be fairly rich. No, he was a rich young ruler, so he must have had quite a lot of wealth. He obviously had power. He was a ruler. I'm sure he had a house full of servants, and I don't know sure what he was ruling, but rulers usually rule something, and so that he had some sort of power, and I'm sure he had a measure of respect. He seemed to have everything going for him. He had all of those things, and he was a good boy as well. Loved mummy and daddy. Was really good. Looked after them, honored them, had an awareness of God, lived a clean life, a good life, this guy. And Jesus says you lack something. There's something missing in all of that equation. Now it's interesting when Jesus looked at him, it says that Jesus looked at him and loved him. Some of us, if we see someone that seems to be rolling in money and have it all together and all of those things, some people look at that and they're envious of that. Some people say, gee, I wish I had that car. How come he's the rich young ruler? How come he's got all the money? How come he's got all of that? And some of us will look even with a heart of envy and say, it's a bit unfair, Lord. I'm struggling, and this guy here, he's got his Mercedes or his Porsche or 100 Porsches or whatever this guy's got. And some of us will look at someone like that with a little bit of envy. Someone will read about, is it Gina Reinhardt? Yes. Good name, Reinhardt, but Bonky after normally better. But she's, what, $36 billion? That's pretty good, isn't it? Who would like $36 billion? Who can even think of what I can't even think of what that is. Those numbers, my brain explodes at that. $36 million, I think I can handle that. $36 billion, I'm not quite sure. But I'm open, Lord, obviously. It's not discounting anything. But sometimes we hear those and sometimes we become intensely envious of that. But Jesus, his only response was always love. He did everything in love. And when he looked at this guy, he was obviously a well-meaning young man. He obviously was young, well-meaning, good, clean life, wanted to get closer to God, fell down at Jesus' feet, said, what must I do? And yet there was something that was fundamentally missing in his life. And Jesus saw that and he was moved with compassion. He loved him. Because he always worked in love. And the Lord's heart is, and I'm sure the heart, Lord's heart for each and every one of us that are here, is that we won't miss out like this young man, but we'll actually grab a hold of the very thing that he missed out on. Now what is the one thing? It says, one thing you lack. What is it that he was lacking? Was it bad that he had a lot of money? Not at all. Not a problem. Jesus never went around, you don't read in the Bible, going around beating up people that had money. It wasn't about that at all. Was he against people that were rulers? He didn't go around beating up people, just talking about them because they were rulers or whatever. What he was talking about really what was in his heart. And the thing that he lacked, and the clue that we have is he said, sell everything you have, but the key is not so much even selling all you have, but obviously that was the barrier for him because he loved his money more than anything else in the world. But the critical part was he said, then come and follow me. Now those words are the important words, come and follow me. The words actually there have the word, if you have a look in the original, the word cross is actually in there. In fact, if you read the King James, it'll actually put, take up your cross and follow me, it says in the King James. And that is the heart and the essence. He says, you're a good boy. Well done. You've lived a nice, clean life. You've kept all the commandments. You loved your parents. You've been faithful in that. You're a good guy. You've done well for yourself. Well done. We don't know whether he inherited. Maybe he worked really hard to get where he is. Well done. That's all really, really good. But there's one thing that you lack. He says, come and follow me. And the sense is taking up your cross. It's a sense of living sacrifice in your life. And that was the cruncher. That is the cruncher when we talk about living a life of radical love, to live that life of love. It's whether we will embrace sacrifice or not. And everything else looked really good on the surface, but when push comes to shove, this young man, he couldn't make the cut. He wasn't prepared to sacrifice for the cause of the kingdom. And it's a sad story. And Jesus' heart goes out to him because he missed out on so much, this young man. He went away with maybe being a good boy and all the things he had, but he missed out on the life of love. Probably in this story, he probably missed out on eternal life because he never actually followed Christ. If we don't follow Christ, then we do miss out on the very thing that he was asking for. What do I do to inherit eternal life? And so it's a very, very sad story because this guy's obviously well-meaning. He fell on his feet to Jesus. What must I do? But when push came to shove, he could not sacrifice. For him, Jesus said, okay, I want you to sacrifice. For him, it was giving up all his money. But what is the sacrifice for some other people? Some people would do that, not a problem, because money doesn't have a hold of them. Not a big deal. Everything I have is not mine anyway. I don't own anything at all. Everything I have is God. Not a big deal for me to give up my money. But what if it's something else? What if I can't give up my comfort? What if I struggle? You know, I always think of that song when Keith Green's song said, Jesus rose from the dead, but you can't even get out of bed. You know, what are the things that stop us? Is it our television? Is it, what is it? What are the things that maybe we do everything else well? We're even coming down to the feet of Jesus and we're saying, I'm a good boy, love my parents, love my family, but is there something within our heart? Is there something that stops us living a sacrificial life? Because that's the life that Jesus said, to live a life of love, just as Christ gave himself up. And we want everything else, but then something happens with us. Maybe we need to look in our heart and say, Lord, I don't want to be that. I don't want to be the one when push comes to shove. I don't make sacrifices. I really don't want to put myself out. I really don't want to. Look, I'll do what I have to do. I'll follow the commandments. I'll do my little bit. I'll even rock up at church on Sunday. I'll do all the things, but don't push me to the place of sacrifice. But Jesus didn't condemn him. He loved him. And I know that's our heart, but I pray his heart to us this morning. I don't want anyone to feel condemned this morning, but I pray that we'll come to the place, Lord, I'm not going to shirk sacrifice. I'm serious about my love in my life. I'm serious about being a Christian, about living a Christian life. I don't want to live a life where I want all the fluff and bubble so I just feel good and feel blessed and utter wonderful. Lord, I want to embrace the cause of Christ. I want to live the one life I have for your cause and for the gospel. I want to contrast this sad young man. And he went away. It's a sad story. He went away very sad. I want to contrast that with the attitude that Jesus tells us that we really need to have in Philippians chapter 2. And I just want to read this to us. So this young man, he couldn't actually do that when push comes to the shove. But I praise God the disciples did, that they did. They all actually came to that place. Eventually, they all got there. What about Christ, the example of Christ? And Christ says, look, this is really how it's supposed to be. And I just want to read this, Philippians chapter 2, and reading down from verse 5. Excuse me. It says, your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. But we want to follow Jesus, don't we? Yeah? Do you want to follow Jesus? Then our attitude, just check our attitudes. There's a little bit of rich young ruler in us. But no, our attitude is, Lord, I want to be the same as Jesus Christ. So attitude should be, the scripture says, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, and even obedient to death, even death on a cross. And so it goes on about Christ being exalted to the highest place. But I just want us to contrast that for a moment. See, the rich young man had seemed to have everything, but when push came to shove, he wasn't prepared actually to give anything up. He wasn't prepared to sacrifice for the cause of the gospel. Christ sacrificed everything. This young man, he seemed to be a healthy young man the way that he came up to Christ. Christ actually took every sickness known to man upon his body. All the beatings, all the floggings that he endured, all of the pain and suffering he went through. He took all of that. Now he was God. He was God. He didn't need to do any of that. He didn't need to do that. Nothing for him to be gained at all, personally, from doing that. But he did it entirely for us. And so he laid aside any health that he would have. And obviously, being the King of Glory who owns all things. And yet he was born in the most humblest of circumstances. He's born as a little baby in a manger. rich young ruler in a, palace, and then you got a little baby who comes in a manger. What an incredible contrast. It says how that he didn't consider equality with God as something to be grasped. He wasn't about position. He wasn't going to make a name for himself. He laid everything aside. He had the name, and yet he laid it all aside. And it says that he just put aside even his own reputation, is all laid aside. Christ sacrificed everything, everything, everything for each and every one of us. And he says, that's the kind of life, guys, that I want you to live. Not a popular thing to hear, but it's a powerful thing because that's what Christ came for, that we would not only know him, we'd have that intimacy with the Father, but we'd live our life for the cause of the gospel, not just be a good boy or girl. And yeah, I'll follow the commands and I'll love my parents and yeah, I'll even rock up. But no, Lord, I'm going to live my life for the glory of the kingdom, a life of sacrifice. That's the attitude that Christ said. That's the attitude that Paul says to the Philippians. But Christ wants us to have the same attitude that Jesus has. Is that attitude ours? See, Jesus, obviously, he had that mindset. And some of us, we can have that mindset. We can have every good intention. Yes, Lord, I'm going to live for the cause of the gospel. Lord, I'm going to lay my life down. Lord, I'm going to serve you, Lord. It's not about me. It's not about my needs. It's not about my wants. I'm going to stand for the cause of the gospel. But something happens to us. We get sick or something happens in our family or something hits us, our finances, whatever it is, something happens. And what do? We suddenly become all focused upon ourselves, and sacrifice all of a sudden becomes too costly. I cannot sacrifice. I've got all this other stuff that I'm supposed to be doing. I cannot sacrifice. I've got all these things happening to me in my life, and sacrifice suddenly becomes too hard for us. But I praise God that Christ, he came to a point where everything was coming to a head for him. Remember, he was a man, came God as a man, and his humanity, the pressure of what he was about to do on the cross was all bearing down upon him. In John 12, 27, Jesus says this. He says, my soul is troubled. And we know he was agonizing in the Garden of Gethsemane before he went to the cross. The blood that was coming out of his forehead, out of the pores of his skin, the intensity, the emotional anguish, the trauma of that. We go through some big deals. Well, that was a very big deal, what Christ was going through before he even went to the cross, because he knew the reality of what it was. And he says, my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Get me out of here. Bring me up, God. Get me out. He says, no, for this very reason I came to this hour. He lived everything for the cause of the gospel. He was struggling emotionally under intense pressure. All the people he thought he could count on didn't even rock up, or they ran away. People that trusted, his closest friends, everyone that was, and the three closest, are there sleeping. What are you doing sleeping three times? What are you doing, guys? I'm struggling here. This is hard. And he had the ability to call down a legion of angels, the scripture says, to lay all that aside. But he went through that, and he went through with sacrifice. But what do? Does our sacrifice go out the window when we get busy, when we get stressed, when we get pressured? When we get all sort of things happening to us, we want to live a life of love just as Christ did. And I pray that there's something this morning will realign in our attitudes, because we don't want to be like the rich young ruler. We really want to be like Jesus Christ. And I know that's your very heart of being here this morning. You're here because your cry is, Lord, I want to be like you. Lord, I want to live my life for you. I want to live my life for the cause of the gospel. And that's why we're here today. We want to be like that, but we don't want to make the mistake that the rich young ruler made, that when push came to shove, he just couldn't do it. He's saying, oh Lord, I'm ready to embrace sacrifice. Lord, I'm ready to live the kind of life of love that you lived and are asking me to live. So there is a challenge for us. In Luke 14, 24, Jesus said, and whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. And the rich young man, that's exactly what he couldn't do. He could come down, fall at the feet of Jesus. He could be a good boy to live a nice, clean life and do all that stuff. But when push came to shove about carrying a cross, living a life of sacrifice, putting the kingdom before his own pleasure, putting the kingdom before his own comfort, putting the kingdom first, he couldn't do that. And Jesus said, and whoever does not carry their cross, which means to live this sacrificial kind of lifestyle, and follow me cannot be my disciple. And we want to be disciples. And as I said, it's not always a popular topic because this is a real challenging stuff here. This is about how we live every moment of our life, whether we live it like the rich young ruler or we live it in the way that Christ wants us to live. It talks about carrying the cross, embracing sacrifice, being prepared to sacrifice. Some people struggle to lift a finger, let alone to lift the cross and walk a life of sacrifice, which is not about me. It's not about what I want. It's not about my own pleasure, my own comfort, my own security. I don't live for me. It's not about me. It's about God and it's about the cause of His kingdom. I would just be so thrilled to see an army of people that would rise up and live their life in such a way. We look at people in the scripture. We look at people in history and we say, these guys are heroes of the faith. The amazing things that these people did. They must have been incredibly gifted, incredibly talented. No, they were just incredibly committed. That actually embraced a life of sacrifice and they made a difference and make a difference because they want to walk this road. And if we really want to make a difference in our life, not just have a good life and praise God, I'll make it in the end, but Lord, I want to make an eternal difference and we need to embrace sacrifice and to have that as a part of our life. And part of it is really how we look at things of life. Philippians 3:8 says, and this is that Paul epitomized this, and his cry to the Philippian church, if you read the book of Philippians, say, guys, I want you to get a hold of something, grab a hold of this, understand something about the love of God and about the life that He has for us and the joy of all of that. He says, what is more, Philippians 3, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whose sake, for the cause of the kingdom, for whose sake I have lost all things. And I consider them garbage or rubbish that I might gain Christ. Wow. All things. At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. Everything else, I live for the cause of the gospel. And yet, are we like that? The things that you own, do you treat them as rubbish? And I'm not saying don't ever paint the roof or fix your car or whatever. Oh, it's rubbish. No, I'm not saying that. Where is your heart in those things? Is the value of your life come from what you have or don't have? Is that where it comes from? The significance of who you are? Is it based on your education or your experience or anything else? Or he said, no, everything I just called it nothing other than the cause of the gospel. And Apostle Paul, he was a great guy. He had some problems, as you can see. He had a bit of a argument with Barnabas, we hear, and Paul still wasn't perfect, and Paul admitted, he says, look, not that I'm there yet. He says, guys, he even says to Philippians, look, guys, I'm not actually there yet. I'm still along the road. I'm still on the journey. But he was able to make that commitment and statement and abide by it and say, this is why I live, guys. This is my heart, and that was his crying. And what about us? Do we get so caught up in desiring things of the world and accumulating things and looking after a whole lot of stuff and forget the cause of the gospel, like the rich young ruler, or we like Christ? And Paul is saying, look, I've considered everything else to be rubbish, guys. When push comes to shove, for me, Paul is saying, that's the choice. I've made that right choice, and that's the life of love that Christ has asked you to live. And however you live it is entirely up to you. Paul also goes on in Philippians 2:17, he says, but even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I'm glad and I rejoice with all of you. He sounds like his life has been poured out. Well, you get a cup of water and you pour it out. And that's how he really saw his life. I'm actually pouring my life out for the cause of the kingdom. Some of us want to keep that cup. We want to keep it all. And not only that, we don't want just a plastic cup, but we want a, not even just a metal cup, but we want a nice golden cup and we'll then have it all encrusted in jewels and make it, our life all look really good. Paul says, no, look, I'm actually going to pour my life out. I'm not about here for myself. I'm not here about making sure I catch up with my latest show and I don't want to miss an episode of my show. I don't live my life that I'll be comfortable and have a nice snuggie in my doona over your snuggly. I'm not here that I'll have all my needs met and all of the things that will satisfy my flesh. I don't live like that. Paul says, no, look, I'm just pouring out my whole life, everything I am and everything I am, and I'm putting it as a drink offering before the Lord. And he says, I'm glad when I do that. When we think of sacrifice, we think what the torment and the pain of that. I think the real pain of life and the saddest thing and the hardest thing in life is when people miss the life of sacrifice and they blindly go on in oblivion and they miss the cause of the gospel and they miss everything. The point, they may make it to heaven because they confess Christ, but the legacy for eternity is missed. And I think that's a bigger cost than any cost that we can make for the cost of the cause of the gospel. And Paul says, look, even though I'm being poured out like that and it's like that, he says, I rejoice because I know that there's something of far greater enduring value than that I'm happy, that I've got all the things that I wanted or ever could dream of in this world. It's about the cause of the gospel. And Paul says that. He pours his heart out, and there's a joy in that. So people always want their rights, and as long as their rights have been met, then they're happy. People want to pamper themselves. We're such a pampering society. The amount of the billions of dollars that people spend on pampering themselves. No, I'm not against that. If you like putting weird things on your face, go for it. I'm not saying don't do that. If you like, you know, cucumbers on your eyes, go for it. Nothing wrong with that. But people, the problem is when that becomes our focus and our intention and our motivation and everything is about making me feel all right and making me feel good and making me feel blessed even, then that's the problem, because we're not living for the cause of the gospel. And I pray that we grab a hold of something, because we want to live a life of love. And sometimes for us, when we think a life of love, we think we all walk around smiling and all flippy-floppy, all, you know, all gushy and mushy kind of. It's not about it. We're talking about reality of life, for living for the cause of the gospel, even as Christ gave himself up for us. But I just say something that sacrifice, it's a wonderful thing. I just want to read something from David Livingstone. You've all heard of Dr. Livingstone, I presume. And he went into the Africa, even went into the deepest heart of Africa. This is what he says. He says, people talk of the sacrifice I've made in spending so much of my life in Africa. Can that be called a sacrifice, which is simply acknowledging a great debt we owe to our God, which we can never repay? Is it a sacrifice which brings its own reward in healthful activity, the consciousness of doing good, peace of mind, and a bright hope of a glorious destiny? It is emphatically no sacrifice. Rather, it is a privilege. Anxiety, sickness, suffering, danger, forgoing the common conveniences of this life, they may make us pause and cause the spirit to waver and the soul to sink. But let this be only for a moment. All these are nothing compared with the glory which shall later be revealed in and through us. I've never made a sacrifice. Of this we ought not to talk. When we remember the great sacrifice which he made who left his Father's throne on high to give himself for us. I think, wow, that guy knew sacrifice. Sacrificed everything. His wife went with him to Africa. She ended up, as the children got older, the children went returned back home. And he was left there. He's going into places in Africa where no one had ever been before. And yet he says, no, don't speak to me of sacrifice. Because what people think is a sacrifice really isn't, when I consider the sacrifice that Christ made. And yet we sometimes make sacrifices and we've got to always put everything in the context of the glory of God and the wonder of the sacrifice that he made for us, that we'd live such a life. But can I say that in all sacrifice, that there needs to be a joy in that? Paul says, look, even though my life's been poured out like a drink offering, he says, I have a joy in that. And that's really, really important, because if you are sacrificing, even for the cause of the gospel, even serving for the advancement of the kingdom of God, but if there is no joy in that, can I tell you that there's not really any love in that at all? If you can make sacrifices, well, I don't really want to have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and do this or do that. Or, you know, we had some people who made some fantastic sacrifices yesterday. I really honor all those people who gave a lot up yesterday and who made the sacrifice. And can I just make one little comment about sacrifice too? Sometimes you might have something in the church and you might say, oh, look, you know, like I encourage, you know, the kids, you know, when their kids were growing up, being boys, say, for example, a kids club, they're doing craft. We're boys, we don't like craft. Well, fair enough. But to teach our kids, it's not about you. It's not about whether you like craft or not, whether it's a girl's thing or a boy's thing. Nothing to do with that. You're going to kids' club. If you enjoy it and get something out of it, fantastic. But you're not going there just for you. You're not going there for your benefit, that you will get something out of it. You're going there for other kids. Because the point of that group is it's an outreach group that kids will come to know Jesus Christ. And you're there as a believer. You can witness to them. You can be an example to them. It's not about you. It's not about whether you like craft or whatever they're doing. Not about that. But adults, adults think like that too. I'm amazed. Adults will think like that. Oh, I don't enjoy this, or I don't get anything out of that. Big deal. It's not about you in the first place. It's about the cause of the gospel. It's about people coming to Jesus Christ. It's about you being a believer that might sit next to someone who's not a believer and you giving them your testimony, about telling them that Jesus loved and died on the cross. Not about if the footy was on or there's a better show on TV. Who gives a cracker? When you're in heaven, you will sit back and say, well, you won't have any regrets. But if you could, you think, why did I watch that stupid show? I could have had this person in heaven with me if I had have been there. It's not about me. It's not about us. As parents, teach your kids that right from an early age. Teach them. It's not about whether you like this or you like that. Teach them a life of sacrifice so when they're adults, it'll be natural to them and they will be significant in the kingdom of God because you've taught them well. Parents, teach your kids well. Don't say, oh, well, they're blessed or this because of this or that. No, just parents, teach them. But parents, live it yourself. Live a life of sacrifice. They'll look at you. What are your priorities? You say you love God, but do you really? Do you live a life of sacrifice? Because at the end of the day, and I'm saying it strongly this morning, we cannot say we love God if we don't want to sacrifice for Him. We can love in many ways, and we've thought about all the different words for love. And we can have a fond affection, even as Jesus was challenging Peter about, not a fond affection for you, Lord. He said, no, do you love me? Do you love me with that sacrificial kind of love? Finally, Peter gets the message and he lives his life like that. Ends up giving his very life for the cause of the gospel. And so there's that challenges for us. But again, I want to come back to having joy in it. It's really important. Jonah 2:9 says that it says, but I with shouts of grateful praise will sacrifice to you. What I vowed I will make good, I will say salvation comes from the Lord. And here's a prayer, a cry that says, I'm going to sacrifice with joy. Because I just want to say again, if you're making sacrifices and there's no joy in it, then the reality is there's no love in that. Because when there's a love in that, then there's a joy. Because you understand the cause is how important it is, how wonderful it is to see people been coming to the kingdom of God, coming closer to Christ. And so what does it mean then? Oh, well, if there's no joy in it, shall I not sacrifice? No. Sacrifice with the right heart, with the right attitude, the same attitude that Jesus Christ had. Check your attitude. If you're making sacrifices and there's no joy there, there's something wrong with your attitude. That's the problem that we can have in every one of us. And again, I don't want to feel anyone feel condemned today. As Paul says, I'm growing in this and I'm growing in this too. I've got to check my attitude all the time. I've always got to check my attitude. We need to check our attitude. None of us are there yet, but we say, Lord, no, I'm going to live my life for the cause of the gospel. I want to live a life of love. So check our attitude. And it is important. 1 Corinthians 13:3 says, if I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Doesn't matter. Doesn't count. So don't sacrifice without love. Sacrifice with love. That's the whole point. Because we can't love without sacrifice. So they must go together anyway. So be someone who says, yes, Lord, I'm going to embrace sacrifice. And Lord, forgive me. If I've lived my life like the rich young ruler, I've led a good life. I love my mum and dad and I love my family. And I've worked really hard. But when it comes to, will I sacrifice my own comfort, my own needs, my own desires? Lord, I'm sorry. And Jesus looked at him and loved him. He didn't condemn him. He loved him because he wanted him to come into that place of intimacy. He wanted to come into that place of what that real love is. And I know that's God's heart for any of us that may be struggling today when we talk about sacrifice. But how much my heart would sing and how much louder would the Lord's heart sing if we were people that could embrace that. I praise God for the sacrifice. Many people here make many, many sacrifices. Some don't. And I'm going to condemn you for that. Same as Christ didn't condemn that young man. But I pray that your heart will change and say, Lord, yeah, I want to live a life of sacrifice. Not about what I like or what I enjoy, what I want, what makes me comfortable or makes me uncomfortable. Lord, let it never be about me. Lord, forgive the me in me. Lord, let there just be you in my mind and my thought, Lord, and the cause of your gospel. Lord, let me live my life. That's my prayer, and I trust it'll be your prayer today. I'm going to close with this final quote of C.T. Studd. It said, "If Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice too great for me to make for him. Then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him." And that's true. So let's stand and let's pray this morning. As I said, you might not hear this message in many churches because it's confronting and it's a challenge. But I tell you, the most fulfilled life that we can have, Paul, who poured out his life as a drink offering, had fulfillment in his life because he lived for the cause of the gospel and the incredible joy that accompanied that. And so maybe sometimes we need to put ourselves out. We need to go the extra mile. We need to do some a little bit more and put ourselves. But Father, we come before you. Lord, I just pray, Lord, this morning. Lord, as we've had this word, Lord, it's a strong word. Lord, I pray, Lord, people aren't feeling condemned. Lord, even as Jesus, you didn't condemn them. But Father, Jesus, you looked at them with a heart of love because, Lord, you didn't want them to miss out. And Father, my heart is, and I know it's your heart, Lord, you don't want anyone here to miss out on living that life of love. And Father, I pray, Lord, that as a church and as people, Lord, we will be ones that will not shirk sacrifice. But Father, that we will embrace sacrifice. Lord, that we'd even live a life of love, Lord, that embodies the sacrifice, even the very sacrifice that Jesus made upon the cross for us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we'll be a people and grow church. Lord, that we were ones, Lord, that live for the cause of the gospel. Lord, it's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about what I want or need or feel or whatever else. But Lord, let each of our lives be laid like that drink offering, Lord. Lord, for the cause of Christ, Lord. And Lord, let the joy of that also begin to rise in our hearts all the more. So Father, I just thank you this day. I thank you, Lord, that you love us so much. That you love us so much, Lord. You don't want us to miss out on anything. And so, Father, as we embrace this life, Lord, fulfillment in every way comes. And so, Father, I thank you for that now. In Jesus' name, amen.